Good morning, everyone. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, you'll have Psalms, Proverbs, and the next book will be Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to start with the last two verses of chapter 11. Ecclesiastes 11, 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as golds, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's pray. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. For anyone who speaks the gospel, it is a burden, heavy burden, but a blessed burden to tell people what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's also an urgent burden. We who are meeting here this morning may not have the opportunity to meet again. Time is fleeting. We call them accidents, but God's providence goes on. Things could happen. We know all things work for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. It could be that that last soul that God has called and saves could happen today. And then we who know him, whom he knows, will forever be with the Lord. There's an urgency in the message of the gospel. My purpose in this message for us this morning is for us to view our Creator again. I do not have all that could ever be said about Him. I couldn't say it in a lifetime. But I'll give us some thoughts about our Creator. My purpose in the message is also for us to see who we are as created beings. He's the Creator. We're the created. And everything around us. My purpose also is for us to have hope in Jesus Christ, who is the faithful Creator. The created became one of His own created. God prepared Him a body, and that body was prepared for sacrifice, to substitute Himself for His people, because His people were unable to do anything for themselves. He lived the life that they could not live. He died the death that they should have died. And He appears before the Father for them, making intercession for them. We thank the Lord for those of us who have hope in Christ. And that's the only hope I have, hope in Christ. As Brad said Wednesday night, we put all of our stuff in one thing. All of our eggs are in one basket. And that's Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is our hope of glory. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we could say. There is no place to go but Jesus Christ. Even the disciples said that. Where else shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And those words of life, part of it is written here for us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I'd like for us to look at this for just a few moments this morning. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember. Consider. Consider how urgent it is. Remember. When we come together to take of the Lord's table, we do this, our Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. Take time to consider. Remember. Now, you got to have something to remember, don't you? If you wasn't taught it, you don't know it. For years, I wasn't taught it. And then one day, I heard the message, and now I remember. And that's what we do every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And sometimes when we gather together as family and friends in our houses and so on, that's what we do. We remember what our Lord has done. We remember our Creator. We take time to worship and give Him praise and glory that's due His name. Now, if you don't have anything to remember, I trust that before the morning is over, you will have something to remember, because only the Lord can bring to remembrance the things that God has said. We trust God will bring these things to remembrance for you. Jeremiah, in his last few chapters, was talking to Israel about Babylon, and while he was talking about Babylon and what Babylon had done and carried him off and how the Lord in His grace was going to bring them back, he said, one of the problems you had, Israel, was that you have forgotten your resting place. Our resting place is Christ Jesus our Lord. Have we forgotten that? We go about our daily lives sometimes not even thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ. I know I do. I'm speaking for myself. I know I do. I get so busy and so caught up and so involved in other things that I forget about the Lord. Not forgetting sometimes who I am and who He is, but forgetting to think about and worship and honor and praise and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Each gathering we have, we remember God's grace and God's mercy and God's love, and we remember that Jesus Christ is our only resting place. Remember, remember to me equals faith in the preached word of God, in the gospel, faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, remember now. Now's the time. That's why I said it's urgent. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Both the psalmist said and Paul repeated it. Today, now is the time. It's high time that we awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Now is the time. Now, while you are alert. Now, while you are alive, now, while you are able, remember what Jesus Christ, our God, has done for us. Why do people put it off? Why do people stop thinking about the Lord? Why do people forget about the Lord? Unbelief, to be sure. They have better things to do. But what is better than to worship the one who made you, who is your maker? Rebellious heart can be an answer. Men have rebellious hearts. Without the Lord, they're unable. They have this inability to trust in the Lord. And they have a rebellious heart. I won't do what God tells me to do. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. I ain't going to do it. I can find rest for myself. Where? Where do you find rest? Do you find rest in your works? How many works do you have to do to find that kind of rest? Do you find rest in all the Bible knowledge that you've got? In all the doctrine that you know? How much do you have to know? How much scripture do you have to memorize to find that kind of rest? No, we have a rebellious heart. We spit in the face of God. We shake our fists in the face of God. And don't think that we would not be any better than the priests and the people who went about just before Jesus went to the cross and cried out, crucify him, crucify him, away with this man. We'll not have anything to do with this man. Remember now. Some people say, I'll hold back. I'll wait till a better time. That's the urgency of this passage. That's the warning that's found in this passage. That's the hope that's also found in this passage. Don't wait. Now's the time. Don't wait. Now. Now. I will someday. I've heard some people say that. I will someday. You will not. You will not. You won't do anything until God first comes to you and says, here's the truth. And when he comes to you and tells you in your heart the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you won't wait. You'll come to the Lord. And you'll come as fast as you can. Remember now thy Creator. Thy Creator. Thy Maker. Remember your Maker. Remember the Creator. He said, I am the Lord and there is none else. John said, this is the true God and eternal life. He made everything by the word of his mouth. He spoke it and it came into existence. He started with nothing. And now we have a whole universe and a world full of people. Because he spoke it. He made it. He's the creator. He's the one with whom we have to do. He rules everything that's his. All, he made all, and all of it is his. Some people say, well, I've got such and such money in the bank. I tell you, he is Lord of all, and you don't have a thing in the bank. He's got it all. The billionaires that they talk about, you see on the internet, you see on the news, they have so much money and so many things. No, they don't. He owns it all. You see, he owns the cattle on the thousand hills and the wealth in every mine. He's Lord. He made it. It's his. And he will do with his what he wants to do. He's sovereign. He knows the end from the beginning. His providential care of this whole universe belongs to him and no other. At the end of time, after everything is all said and done, according to the book of Revelation, he looks back and says, it's done. It's completed. It's perfect. Everything that happened in this world, he's in control. He brings it to pass. There are no accidents with God. In creation, he said about everything that he had made, it's good. At the cross, after he had bore our sins and was ready to die, he cried out, it is finished. It's perfect. His salvation is perfect. And at the end, he will say, done. As a matter of fact, he'll say that to his people, won't he? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter in to the joys of thy Lord. He's the creator. Remember now the creator who doeth all things well. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And we who know the Lord cry out just like Abraham did, shall not the judge of the earth do right? He always does. Everything is done right. He created everything according to his own purpose. Everything starts and ends with him. That's who our creator is. And one day he's going to take this earth, this universe, and he's just going to fold it up like a garment, and it'll all be done. That's the urgency of this message. He stands apart from all creation. As I mentioned, he's the created. He's the creator. We're the created. David said it in Psalm 100. He said, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Sometimes we think we're self-made men and women. No, we're not. God has guided the affairs and is guiding the affairs of men. We are who we are by his grace, by his providence. We are finite. He is infinite. How do you describe God? What way can we describe one who is so far above us? As a matter of fact, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. As high as the heaven is above, so are his thoughts above our thoughts and our ways. How do you describe him? He's infinite. What does infinite mean? Undefinable. How do you define God? The only way we can define God is by the character that he has listed for us to know. We are insignificant. He's everything. One day we were standing at the back there and some of us were standing together and we were talking about how small man is. One man in a world of men. One man in on a globe that's 25,000 mile circumference or whatever it is. One man in a solar system. One man in a universe. How insignificantly small we are. And yet God chose to look upon us. Think about how great our Creator is. He doesn't need us to be God. He doesn't need us to be God. He functions on his own. When he swears by something, he can swear by no other but by himself. When he makes a vow, he can make a vow by no other but himself. Hold your place there. Let's look at that. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee. Multiplying, I will multiply thee. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He sees it all. He's omnipotent. There's nothing too hard for him. And we can only describe him by his character. His character is that he is holy. He told us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." His character is just, righteous. He is the Lord, our righteousness. His character is perfect. He says, "Be ye perfect, for I am perfect." His character is love. He is, the Bible says, John said, God is love. And I want you to know something. When we talk about the Creator, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it in John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. The Creator is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who is this Word of God? Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Creator. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul repeats it this way. In Colossians 1, verse 16, speaking of Jesus Christ, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." He does with His creation whatever He wants. You know, everyone in the Scripture that the Creator reveals Himself to comes away with a different view of Him and of themselves. Isaiah fell down and said, "Woe is me, for I am undone," when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on the throne. Nebuchadnezzar stood up there and said, "Look what I have built. The majestic Babylon, the seven wonders of the world, all wrapped into this one place." And God told him, "You're going to go out like an animal. You're going to feed on grass. Your fingernails are going to grow like eagle claws. Your hair's going to mat up for a time." At the end of that time, Nebuchadnezzar cries out to all when he says, "He rules in the heavens, in the inhabitants of the earth. He does whatever He wants to do." And then he puts this thing right at the end of it when he says, "No one can stay his hand. Who can say, what doest thou?" Who can say to the Creator, "Why have you made me thus?" Who can say to the Creator, "Why did you create it that way?" We're just created beings. We're the insignificant. We're the finite. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. I think it was Paul anyhow. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. But you know, he didn't say who it was. And I think the reason he didn't say who it was because he saw the Creator and realized he was nothing before God. He couldn't even talk about what he saw. It was so high, so majestic, and so wonderful. And this is the one with whom we have to do. No wonder the psalmist said, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Paul said it this way, "There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." Peter said he called Him a faithful Creator. Remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He doesn't merely mean creator. young folk, although there's a lot of young folk who've been coming to our church or here this morning. He didn't necessarily mean just young folk. He meant those who are alert, those who are able, those who can think, those who have a soundness of body and a soundness of mind. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And the reason I say that is because in chapter 11 and verses 9 and 10, he talks about these young folk. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are what? Vanity. Empty. Empty. Empty without the Creator. That's why he goes on and says, now remember thy Creator. They're empty without the Creator. Old folk are empty without the Creator too. Everyone without Christ is empty. Empty. Oh, they go about with a semblance of life, and God by his grace allows them to live. But man is empty without Christ Jesus the Lord. And Paul and Peter said it this way: neither is there salvation in any other name given among men under heaven, given among men, whereby ye must be saved. God is jealous over his Son. He reveals himself by his Son. He's the express image of the Father who made all things. He is the only salvation of his people. He only satisfies the Father. That's why it's important for us to remember the Creator, Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. He's the only salvation. He is God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, while the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The urgency of the message: there will come a time when you will get old and feeble. There will come a time when your mind doesn't work like it used to. There will come a time, and maybe we call it accident. It's God's purpose in our lives that God brings us down low and we're unable to move, unable to go. There will come that time. And who knows when the appointed time of our death is? Paul talks about that appointment with death. Who knows when that's going to be? It could be today for some of us. And there's no more opportunity. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That word pleasure is an interesting word. It's found twice chapter 12. We'll see it here in a minute. That pleasure is translated also satisfied. When you have no satisfaction in it. When dementia sets in for some folk. Have you ever wondered how much they remember and think of God, especially God's people? Dementia can take over us. Sometimes I think I have a form of it. I can't remember verses like that I'd studied and memorized years ago. I can't remember them like I used to. I was talking to Brad Wednesday night, and I said, you know, I'm thankful for Strong's Concordance, because all I need is to find a phrase, and then I can go to Strong's Concordance, and I can find that verse. Would you read here what it says in verse 3? In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, when the hands and the body begins to shake. And the strong men shall bow themselves as they get older. Some are bent over more and more. And the grinders cease because they are few. We begin to lose our teeth. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Our eyes begin to get dim. And the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. And he will rise up with the voice of the bird. That rooster will get him up. Or the birds outside the window. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. I enjoy leading songs and singing. But I know, and I can tell it even now, my voice is getting a little bit harder to work with. And one of these days, I won't be able to sing. At least not like I used to. It's coming. It's called old age. By God's grace, we all get to go through it. And it just seems to get worse and worse. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. White hair. You ever seen an almond tree in bloom? Just as white as can be. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. That cricket goes on and it just bothers you to no end. That same sound over and over. It's almost like commercials on TV, isn't it? And desire shall fail. Passions shall cease. Because man goes to his long home, eternal home. You're either going to go there with Christ or you're going to go there without Christ. It's his choice. He's the creator. He does right. Why should I remember the creator in the days of my youth? Well, before I get to that, I was talking about satisfaction. The psalmist David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's the word pleasure at the end of verse 1. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David said it this way at the end of his life. This is all my salvation and desire. That's the same word, pleasure. This is all my salvation and my desire. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that God had given to him. He said also, the works of the Lord are great, sought of all them that have pleasure therein. And then look here in verse 10 of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. The preacher sought to find out acceptable, that's the same word, pleasure, acceptable words, satisfying words. Now, I know the Lord, our only satisfaction with the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he only satisfies the Lord. The Lord is satisfied with him. But oh, what pleasure and what satisfaction when he reveals to you the gospel and you see the truth and you know the truth and God has written that truth right in your heart. Why should we remember? Because of the frailty of the human body. Just gets worse and worse. There will come a time when the body will not work like it did when we was young. We can't stop the process. Oh, there's medicines and drugs and everything out there that they say, you know, make you look younger, make you feel younger, and all kinds of people are spending billions and billions of dollars. Even centuries ago, Ponce de Leon went looking for the fountain of youth, but it's not there. You cannot stop the process. Disease will come. You may become disabled. And I'm using this word in the demented. There might be dementia set in. Can't remember anything. Weak. Why should you remember? Because man is faulty at his best. He's faulty. In Adam, all die. All are sinners. Sin brings famine, pestilence, and sword. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Man at his best is faulty. There's no good thing about him. And Isaiah said it this way, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Not only because of the frailty of our bodies, not only because at our best we are faulty, but because of the futility of all man's efforts to make it different. All our gains are going to be lost because they all belong to him in the first place. Naked you came into the world, naked you're going out. All our gains are meaningless. What do you have that God didn't give you? The Creator gave it all. And all our efforts to live longer are going to end in death. It is appointed of the man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The only thing man has is an eternal living soul. And guess what? God gave it to him. That's all we have. That soul will be forever with him or forever without him. Now let me quickly see if I can conclude this. Go down to verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All about wisdom that he has written in the book of Ecclesiastes. This is the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God. What does that mean? Fear God. That's exactly what it means. Yes, I believe that fear in some places means reverence, means to look at him in awe. But if you are without Christ, there's reason to fear. Because if the Creator decides for you, now is the time for you not to have pleasure or knowledge or life. Then you'll stand before a holy God on your own. All you'll have is yourself. Do you think that will do? Brother Gary, are you trying to scare us? If I could show you what it's like, which I cannot do, but I could try. If I could show you what it's like on the other side of death for those without Christ, I'd do it. There is something to fear, but that's not the greatest fear. The greatest fear is to stand before a holy God so far above, so great, so wonderful, and we are nothing but a sinful creature. Fear God. Paul said it in Hebrews, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Paul speaking about the judgment seat of Christ, which we read about here. Paul speaks about the judgment seat of Christ, and he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. And the problem is, there's no fear of God before people's eyes. They don't know that they're sinners. They haven't seen that God is holy and that God is the Creator. The writer of Proverbs said it this way, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. That's why I'm not afraid to talk to you about fearing God, because it tends to life. Fear God, keep his commandments. His commandments are all wrapped up in love God the Father with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love one another, your neighbor as yourself. The Lord Jesus told us that. And then the Lord Jesus also said, I've got a new commandment for you. Love one another as I have loved you. And Paul said in Galatians, all the law is fulfilled in this, that you love one another. Keep his commandments. But the problem is there's a great gulf between God and man. Man is unable to do this. I am unable to do verse 13. Fear God. Keep his commandments. I can't do it. I've tried. I spent 40 years trying and came up empty all the way until I found out that somebody had already taken care of the fear of God because he died in my place and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. He took all that fear upon himself, and now perfect love casts out fear. I cannot keep his commandments. I have tried. Sometimes I resurrect that old law and that old body, and sometimes I try to keep the commandments and wonder why I can't do right and wonder why how God might feel about me. The fact is that God has kept all that those commandments in Jesus Christ. I am not responsible for those. He died for those. He gave his life for that. And then he looks at me and says, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I confess, I can't do this. My parents can't do it for me. My friends can't do it for me. My pastor can't do it for me. My church can't do it for me. No one can cause me to do this thing. I can't do this. But Jesus Christ did and calls and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I confess that Jesus Christ did it all for me. That's my hope. That's your hope. If you are alert, if you're able, if you have a soundness of mind, that's your hope. Jesus Christ is your only hope. If the Lord, through His Word, has caused you to see the truth of the gospel and the truth of our Creator, while you're able, bow to His sovereign love. Call on your Creator for mercy. Our Heavenly Father, a lot of these things that were said this morning are the words of a man. But we read the Scripture. We showed the truth, and they are the words of God. I pray, Father, that you would apply the words of your words to those that such as should be saved, and to those who are saved, that we might remember now our Creator in the days of our youth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.